The Mishnah tells us, very beginning of Maseches Megillah, Beis Amud Aleph, first source on your sheet, Megillah Nikreis Be'echadasar, B'shneimasar, B'shloshasar, B'arbaasar, B'chamishasar. There are times when the Megillah is read on the 11th, or the 12th, or the 13th, or the 14th, or the 15th of Adar, Lo Pachos Lo Yoser. Not before that, not after that. So then the Mishnah starts to elaborate. Krachin Amukafin Cholam Yemos Yoshua Bin Nun. Walled cities that are walled from the times of Yoshua Bin Nun, are Koren B'chamishah. So they have what we call Shushan Purim, the 15th. Even though, interestingly, Shushan itself did not have a wall in the times of Yoshua Bin Nun. But the Gemara says that we have to make an exception for Purim because that's where it happened. And Kfarim and Ayaros Gedolos are Koren Ba'arba Asar. And other cities, big cities, towns, suburbs, are Korin Ba'arba Asar. They read on the 14th. So we all grew up in the United States. We read on the 14th, and we knew that in Yerushalayim they read on the 15th. Source for all of this is the Megillah. The Megillah tells us in Perek Tes, Vayikalu Ayhudim Asher B'Shushan, Gam B'Yom Arba Asar L'Chodesh Adar, V'Yargu B'Shushan Shalosh Meos Ish. So the Jews in Shushan, they congregated on the 14th. They killed in Shushan 300 people. U'B'Bizel O'Sholch was Yadam. V'Shar Yehudim Asher B'Medinos HaMelech Nikalu V'Omad Al-Nafsham. And all the other Jews in all of the other provinces, they also united and defended themselves. V'Noach Me'ayveyem V'Harog B'Soneyem Chamisha V'Shivim Elef U'B'Bizel O'Sholch was Yadam. B'Yom Shlosh Asar L'Chodesh Adar. V'Noach bar ba'aser bo, so they fought on the 13th, they rested on the 14th, and they were aser bo, yom mishta v'simcha. So they made the 14th, and all those other places, they had their celebration on the 14th. V'hayehudim asher b'shushan, but the Jews in Shushan, they were nikalu b'shlosha aser bo, uba ar ba'aser bo, they fought on the 13th and the 14th, V'noach b'chamishas, and they rested on the 15th. V'yasa oso yom mishta v'simcha. So they obviously they celebrated the day that they stopped fighting when they were successful. So that was the 15th. Al kain, and therefore, ha'yehudim ha'prozim, ha'yoshvim bi'ari ha'prozos, the Jews who live in non-walled cities, out in the towns. So they make osin es yomar ba'aser l'chodesh adar. Simcho mishtav yom tov v'mishloch manos ish l'reihu. They celebrate the 14th. V'yichto Mordechai es advar ma'ela v'yishlach svarim al kol yehudim asher b'chol medinos ha'melech. So Mordechai wrote everything and he sent it out. B'chol medinos melech ha'chashverosh ha'krovim v'arochokim l'kayim aleim lios osim es yom arba asur l'chodesh adar v'eis yom chamish asur bo b'chol shana v'shana. He sent out to everyone that everyone should be careful to keep either the 14th or the 15th, depending on where you live and what's going on. So the Gemara gets into the discussion. So when they were deciding which cities would follow Shushan, you would have thought, listen, everywhere should keep the 14th except for Shushan. But how are we going to give special honor to Shushan and not to Yerushalayim? Sounds like it has its own unique day. So we said, okay, we're going to do any city that was walled from the time of Yoshua ben Nun, and that would mean that Yerushalayim is included because Yerushalayim at the time, the Yevusim were living there, and it was a walled city. And therefore, Yerushalayim is included. Oh, the problem is Shushan wasn't walled. Okay, but Shushan's where they rested on the 15th. That's when the miracle happened, the military defeat. So it's going to be all walled cities in the times of Yoshua ben Nun plus Shushan. Question. They were fighting against all of the Persians who accepted the psak of Haman that we're going to kill out all the Jews. You know, all the SS and all the Nazis and all the collaborators, everyone was going along with the final solution, to kill the Jews. It's an interesting question. Like, were there, you know, Hasidei Umos Olam who were hiding people? And interesting, because it sounded like there was a law passed to just ethnically cleanse the Persian Empire from Jews.
You would also think that there's a lot more than 300
people in Shushan.
Shushan,
right? So those sounds like those were the warriors, or those were the soldiers. But you would expect there would be a larger army,
point,
right?
Shverosh at that point was not trying to kill all the Jews.
I mean, Achashverosh himself might have felt differently, but Haman, the edict that Haman had gotten him to sign was in force. So you're right, it could have been that there was like a, we don't really know what were the cultural, what was the cultural reality at the time. Apparently, if Achashverosh was against it, and Mordechai was, and Haman was for it, and it was put into law, so you would imagine that there were some people who were behind it, there were some people who weren't.
In Ezra, it says that the people in that region, in general, they were sending already letters to Achashverosh that they don't like the Jews. Like, that's why they were kicked out of, when Achashverosh took them out of Israel, the whole reason was because people were complaining that we don't like them.
Right. But that's an excellent point. What Shlomster is adding, though, is that you would imagine that just like the Achashverosh at some point, you know, regretted and said, like, what can I do, though? Or seemed perhaps regretted and didn't necessarily want the edict to be carried out, but it was too late, it was already sealed. It's very likely that there were some, you know, ethical Persians who felt like this is not appropriate to do that. It might not have been all of them, obviously. It could be that there were a lot that were for it, and who knows what kind of inner cultural struggles were going on in the Persian Empire at the time. Because what Jake is pointing out is that if the entire population was trying to kill out the Jews, there were probably more than 300 people in Shushan. So what does it mean they killed 300? What, and everybody else surrendered? Or maybe, no one else...
Kill everyone in the war.
What was that?
You don't kill everyone.
Right, but we would imagine that 300 300 is probably a pretty small number, we would imagine. We have no idea. Maybe Shushan was a small town. But it could be that there were 300 people who were fighting, and it could be that others... just at a certain point gave up, or it could be others didn't partake in the fighting. Others could have said, like, we're not part of this. Okay, let's go weiter. So that's the mucker for 14th versus 15th. The Gemara in Megillah and Daf Hey speaks about cities, though, that are a suffix. You might have cities that are a suffix if they were considered walled cities or not. Take a look at the Gemara. Gufa. Chizkiya Kari B'Tveria. Chizkiah, I believe, was the son of Rav Chiya. Chizkiah, that means Rav Chiya is a contemporary of Rav Yehuda Nasi, basically, a little bit after him. So it's basically that generation. So this is like very, very early Amoraim, or maybe we would even call it like the bridge, Tanayim to the Amoraim. So Chizkiah used to read in Tveria, the Megillah, on the 14th and the 15th. Why? He had a suffix if it was considered a mukufas choma for the times of Yoshua or not. So Gemara says, what are you talking about? Umi misafkale? Milsa, the Tveria? How can you have a suffix about that? It says in the pasuk in Yoshua, the Ari Mivtsar, there were fortified cities, Hatsadim, Tsar, Vichamas, Rekes, Vikineret. So one of those cities is Rekes, Vikaimalon, Rekes, Zutveria, and Rekes is Tveria. Tveria is an interesting city name, because Tveria, hopefully, our Tzfat Shabbaton will still happen in Kayetzman, and we're going to go up north for Shabbos, and we sometimes stop for the day, we go to Tveria. Tveria is a great city, and there's some very important kfarim there, and so we'll see. Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai is there, and the Shlah is there, and the Rambam is there, so we'll see, hopefully we'll go to Tveria. But Tveria is an interesting city, because Tveria is seemingly named after Tiberius. It's called Tiberius in English, which is, Tiberius was a Roman emperor. But the Gemara talks about it being Tveria and gives all different drushes of why it's called Tveria, nothing having to do with Tiberius. But Tveria is, its Hebrew name, at least in biblical times, was called Rekes. So if it's listed in Yoshua as an Ir Mivtsar, which means a fortified city, how's a city fortified? With a wall. So if it's a fortified city, it had a wall in the times of Yoshua ben Nun, from Sefer Yoshua. So what was the suffix of Chizkiah? So Gemara says like this, it's a lamdisha suffix. Take a look at this. Hainu taima de misafkale. Mishum de chad shura, chad gisa shura de yamahavas. Tveria, if anyone knows, Tveria is on the Kinneret. So the Kinneret, the city of Tveria has on three sides of it a wall, but the fourth side is the water. It doesn't have a wall on the fourth side. Iachi, okay, very good. My misafkale. What's the lumbus here of the suffix? Vadai lav chomahu. That means it doesn't have a wall, because it only has three walls. It doesn't have four walls. The Tanya, we learned in a brisa. The pasuk says, Asher lo choma, a city which has a wall. This is discussing the halachos of, anyone know? Bate arechoma. What's bate arechoma? Who knows what bate arechoma are? A city in a walled, when you buy a house in a walled city, when you sell a house in a walled city, so you have up to a year to redeem it. If you don't redeem it, meaning buy it back, so it goes to the person that you sold forever. Okay, it doesn't work that way with normal homes. Normal homes that are sold outside of a city, with normal homes. A field or a house that's sold outside of a city, you're not allowed to redeem it in the first year. But when it comes to Bate Arechoma, you're only able to be poded in its first year. So how do you determine if something is a walled city or if it's not a walled city? So the pasuk says, Asher lo choma, that has a wall. And says the Gemara, v'lo shor eger, and not a shor eger. What's a shor eger? What's an eger? Yeah, good. What's an eger? Roof. So a shor eger means like a, sometimes the ancient cities, the houses would be built one right next to the other, and the sides of the house would end up being the wall of the city. The sides of the houses, right? You'd have all the houses touching each other, and they would form a wall. So Mar says, that's not good. Below shor eger. Saviv, Pasuk says Saviv, prat l'tveria shiyama chomasa. You need a city with a wall completely around it, and this excludes Tveria, which doesn't have a wall completely around it, because why? Because one of the walls is the Yam. Okay, good, so what? So what we see is that when it comes to a din of Bate Arechoma, how do you define if a city is considered a walled city? It has to have an actual real wall, not a shore eger, and not an ocean, not a river, not a stream, not a lake. It has to have a real bona fide wall on all four sides.
It doesn't say no ocean, it only says no roofs.
No, that was the next line. The first line was, you can't have, and then the pasuk says, Saviv prat l'tveria shiyama chomasa. So the Gemara says, L'inyan, so the Gemara asks, well, I don't understand, what was the suffix? You see very clearly from the din of Bate Arechoma that Tveria is not considered Bate Arechoma. An ir choma. So says the Gemara, L'inyan Bate Arechoma, we're back to learning Megillah. Aren't you guys excited? We're back to learning Megillah. L'inyan Bate Arechoma lo misafkale. When it comes to the din of Bate Arechoma, there's no suffix, because that's before Shin the Pasuk. Kika misafkale l'inyan mikra Megillah. Is the definition of an Irchoma by Mikra Megillah the same definition of an Irchoma that we find by Bate Arechoma? Why? Because the Pasuk says explicitly, Prozim. My Prozim, Umay Mukafin. Dichsiv Gavi Mikra Megillah. And when it comes to Mikra Megillah, we make a chiluk, not between a walled city and a non-walled city, between a Paruz and a Mukaf. What's the definition of a Paruz and a Mukaf? So the Gemara says, Mishum Dahani Migle, Vahani Lo Migle, Vihanami Migle. Is it dependent on it being exposed? Meaning not having actual wall blocking it. And then what would be the din of Tveria then? Chevril, what would be the din of Tveria? It would, if it's exposed or not exposed? It is exposed. On one side it's exposed. So it's not considered a walled city. Or it's not considered a mukaf. Odilma Mishum dani migne vani lo migne. Maybe it's not dependent on it being walled or not, exposed or not, but it's dependent on it being fortified or not. And then it would be considered mukaf. Why? Because it's very hard to attack a city from the water. You come in nice and slowly on your boat, and they just you're like a sitting duck, and they sit there shooting you down one by one. So if it's tully on, right, this is like a very lambda shaila. Is it tully on a wall? If it's tully on a wall, it doesn't have a wall on all four sides. But if it's tully on being fortified, that's a fortified city. It's a fortified city, right? You could have a city on an island. It could be totally fortified. It has no walls, but it's fortified. It's very hard to conquer it. So mishum hacha misafkale. So is this a suffix in mitzius or a suffix in din?
Mitzius.
Suffix in din. Why? Because suffix mitzius means we don't know if it had a wall or not. There's no suffix in mitzius. This is suffix in the din. How do you define the halacha? How do you define a walled city? Then the Gemara continues and says, Rabbi Asi, Kari Megillah Behutzal.
Bar Beiso Chamesar. Hutzal is a city in Babylonia, in Bavel, right next to Nahar Do. So in Hutzal, Rav Asi used to read both on the 14th and the 15th. Why? He was Mesupak if it had a wall from the times of Yoshua ben Nun. This is a suffix now in Metzias. So in this Gemara we see that whether it's a suffix in Din, like Tveria, where you don't know if being three walls and a body of water, if that gives you the din of a Mukaf Choma, meaning it definitely had its three walls from the times of Yoshua ben Nun, that we see in the Pasuk from Yoshua. But does it have a din of a Mukaf Choma? Not sure. Suffolk and din. Or if it's a Suffolk and Metzias, Hutzal, apparently in times of Rav Asi, it had a wall. But he didn't know, there were different, apparently, rumors in town. How long has Hutzal had a wall? Did it have a wall in the times of Yoshua ben Nun, or if it didn't? So therefore, he read on both days because of his suffix. So let me just finish this little section. I'll take your questions. So from the Gemara, it seems to be pretty clear that if you have a city which is suffix mukaf choma, so what's the din? So assuming the din is mi suffix, you read on 2 days. You read both on the 14th and the 15th. Now, lomdish minds might want to know, well, wait a second. Mikra Megillah, din d'oraisa or din d'rabbanan? D'rabbanan. When you have a suffix, what's the din by d'rabbanan? Suffix d'rabbanan l'kula. So why don't we apply suffix? Why are we saying it's a suffix if it's a mukaf choma? So we're going to be machmir and read on the 14th and the 15th. What do you mean? It's a din d'rabbanan. Suffix d'rabbanan l'kula. And therefore we shouldn't be going the chumra. What's the answer?
You can't read on both days.
Wait, I'm asking, how come the psak is that we read on both days? Shouldn't we go lakula? Excellent. The Ran and Psachim. Very good. Who remembers from Elzman? Shlomo says this is the second day in a row. Although it's both Psachim. Maybe you have like a special like affinity towards Psachim. Oh, okay, there you go. So, Elzman. The Ran and Psachim, I believe we spoke about. Or you remember the Ran and Psachim?
Rav Hutt mentioned it.
Rav Hutt mentioned it, okay. What's the Ran and Psachim? It's about Haseba. You remember? All right, let's talk about it here, because it's the Ran L'Shitoso. When do we say Sabek D'Rabban and L'Kula? We don't say Sabek D'Rabban and L'Kula if that ends up meaning that you won't do the mitzvah at all. What do I mean by that? Today's the 14th. Safek Mukaf Choma. Maybe tomorrow is the right day. It's a Dirabanan, so I don't have to read today. Dirabanan Lakula. Okay, now it's the 15th. And you say, well, I don't need to read today. Could have been yesterday that was the day. Safek Dirabanan Lakula. We don't apply Safek Dirabanan Lakula like that, because that would mean that you don't read it at all. So in a situation like this, we're not going to say Safek Dirabanan Lakula, and therefore it's not a problem that the Gemara says that we're going Lakhumra. Okay. Oh, good. Excellent. What about it? Who said that? What about the bracha? Excellent, we're going to get there in a second. Let's take a look at the Ran. Says the Ran on this Gemara in Megillah on Daf Beis. Ule Inyan, everyone see where I am? Fourth source? Yeah, fourth source?
Yeah.
Danny, you're with me over there?
That's not a problem because there's no real Lekula option because it's going to be 0 days?
Right, so therefore we don't say Sefer Dura, but in Lekula situation we go Lechorma because we have a suffix. Okay, good. No. Take a look at the Ran. Look what the Ran says. Ule Inyan Ayaros Hamisupakos. Regarding cities that there's a suffix, imhein mukafen chomim yos Yoshua ben Nun, olo. Horu ha-ga'onim, shaholchim bohem acharov ayaros. You know what we do if we have a suffix? We don't just go to chumra. We go based on rov ayaros. Go based on rov. And ruban enan mukafas chomim Yoshua ben Nun. Most cities in the world don't have, I mean, let's just start counting, like, okay. Milwaukee, Chicago, you know, most cities in the world, if you do the statistics, did not have a wall in the times of Yoshua ben Nun. And therefore, we go Lakula. V'korim b'yodalid, v'od, and here's the Ran, sha'afilu tomar shu suffix shakul, and if you want to say no, we did the research and it's mamish 50-50. It's a real suffix. There's no rove. When you have a suffix, you go, what's a rove? Let's say we don't have a rove. So it's a suffix. Up, suffix d'rabbanan l'kula. V'havin le suffix shel d'vrayim l'kula. V'nimtza p'turos mishneihem. Mevatel mimenu bevadei mikra megillah. And then you'd be mevatel the mitzvah mikra megillah. Lefikach kore berishon upater b'sheni. So he doesn't say, oh, and therefore you do both. Like we were just saying a second ago. The Ran says, therefore you got to do one. You can't say something on the cool and pot yourself completely, and therefore you have to at least read on one day. Which day should you read? The 14th. Why the 14th? Because that's the rove.
most cities, and even if it was a Suffolk Shuckle, that there wasn't a Rove, you would still need to pick a day, because you can't go to the Kula and not read at all. Okay. So, Lefikach Kari Barishin Apatar B'Sheni. So somebody asked me a kasha. The Ran is against the Gemara, right? Ravasi and Chizkia. The Gemara said when you have a Suffolk, you read on both days. So the Gemara didn't say the Gemara didn't say you read on both days. What did the Gemara say? Chizkia read on both days. The Gemara says Rav Asi read on both days. How are you going to answer the kasha from the Gemara? That's not the halacha. That's what he did. What does he say? Udamrinim b'Gemara atavari of Ahutzal, that they would be korei on 2 days. Midas chasidus, how you know again, Cain? The Gemara is telling me midas chasidus. Mishum sveika de tveria de talia b'migne mechasia ubuhutzal, because that's why, but that doesn't mean that that's how we hold. So halacha lemaisa, even though the Gemara says, you guys are with me? Even though the Gemara says that when it's a suffake, you read on both days, says the Ran, that's only midas chasidus, and really lahalacha, we should only be reading on 1 day. That is the sheet of the Ran. Comes the Rambam. Maybe we should hit the heat for a little bit. Yeah, let's you want someone hit the heat for a little bit. Give him one more for me. Okay, good. So that the Ran says the Gemara is midas chasidus, and the halacha is that we read only on 1 day, on the 14th. Take a look. The same question was asked to no one less than the Rambam. Ever read a Shaila and Shuvas from the Rambam? Let's take a look. Shud HaRambam. They're also referred to as Pe'er Hador, the splendor of the generation. Take a look. Simen Kuf Chaf Dalet and Shud HaRambam. She'ela Shlishis, Hashishis. This is our question. B'davar Masha Korim Anshei Tsur. Where's Tsur? Anyone know? Tyre. Tyre is like in Lebanon or Syria. It's on the coast. Tyre. Okay? So, Anshei Tsur, what did they do? The people in Tsur, apparently, read the Megillah on the 14th and the 15th. Umivarchin Mishneyem. Shmuel, here's your question. And they're Mivarech both on the 14th and the 15th. Ha'imim Ovrim B'zem Mishum Bracha Shenetzricha Imlav. Are they making a bracha shenetzricha? So, he's not asking, is it right that they read on the 14th and 15th? The questioner assumes that that's right to read on the 14th and the 15th. Question is, what about the bracha? Answer of the Rambam. Mashanirolo hu anachon l'chol safek. That which appears to him is right. What do you mean that appears to him? That he's right that he's reading on the 14th and the 15th, and he's nervous that he's making a bracha by, bracha levatala, by making a bracha on the 15th? He's right. V'chol makom shem supakim yoshvav. Any place where the people have a safek, if it's a mukav chomam Yeshua ben Nun or not. So, when they read, they're korim b'yodalud, they read on the 14th, and that's when they make their bracha. You know why? Because yodalud is the zman kriya l'kol. Since rove cities are reading on the 14th, that's when you should make your bracha. Ella, unless you're one of those who it's nis'ametz v'niskayem lanu shumi b'nei tesvav. Unless you're a vadai tesvavr, meaning a suffolk does read on the 14th and 15th, but he makes the bracha on the 14th. Why? Because that's the time when everybody makes the bracha. And when do you make the bracha on the 15th? Only if you're absolutely sure you should be reading on the 15th. Like you live in Shushan. Or you live in Yerushalayim. Or you live in a city that you know for sure had a wall. And what do you therefore do? You're Korin B'tezvav, and you're not Mevarchin Lolefaneh V'lo L'achareha. And this is all because it's a bracha shenet tzricha, which is a dioraisa iser, of paying Hashem's name in vain. And the Rambam uses, in this tshuva, the Rambam says, and this is actually the klal in general, whenever you have a suffik, if it's a suffik dioraisa, and you're going l'chum, you're doing the mitzvah again, so you do the mitzvah again, but you don't make a bracha the second time. Oh, excellent. Very good. So what about Yom Tov Sheni? So let's first just make sure we clarify what was the halacha. So we saw Machlokas Rishonim. What do you do if you're a Suffolk Mukav Choma? Do you read both days or only the 14th? The Ran says only the 14th. What about the Gemara? The Gemara was Midas Chasidus. And the Rambam Paskins, 14th and 15th, but you only make the bracha on the 14th. But you read both on the 14th and the 15th. Why? Because that's what the Gemara says. Gemara wasn't Midas Chasidus. The Gemara says, if you're a Suffolk, you read on both days. Hold on 1 second. The Shulchan Aruch and the Tur paskin like the Rambam, that if you're Mesupuk, you read both in the 14th and the 15th. What about the Bracha? So the Rambam is very clear. We just read it. The Rambam says that you only make a Bracha on the 14th. But, l'chora, this is because of the Shitas HaRambam. The Rambam holds that making a Bracha in a Tzricha is an Isser Dioraisa of using Hashem's name in vain. What I mean by that? Doesn't everybody hold that? I mean, using Hashem's name in vain is an Isser Dioraisa. No, 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 no. Bringing Hashem's name in vain would be like if I would just walk around right now, just like saying Hashem's name. Ba, 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 just saying Hashem's name. That's using Hashem's name in vain. Making a bracha that I might not need is not using it in vain. It's using it in a halachic context. It might just not have been necessary. Right? There's a difference between using Hashem's name for no purpose and just stam saying it. That's a real disgrace. As opposed to making a bracha. You're saying it in the context of a bracha. Okay, it's a bracha shein tzricha maybe, but that's not the same thing as using Hashem's name in vain. So the Rambam says, yes it is, and you're over in Yisra D'Oraisa. But not everybody agrees with that. The Ashkenazi Pesach in general is not like that. There's a tshuva here of the Maharil, which I gave you on the Makoro sheet. We're not going to read it inside for now, but the Maharil, so he writes that, he asks, what about Yom Tov Sheni Shel Golios, like was just asked here. And he says, from there you see that L'chora, we should be reading both days in ears that are Safek Mukafas Choma, and we should be doing it with a bracha. The Maharil lived in Germany, and apparently there were some cities there that it's a Safek if it was Mukafas Choma. And he says, if you have a real Safek, so we would think that you should make a bracha, just like we find by Yom Tov Sheni Shel Golios. It's not the Maharil here, it's a different Maharil. That we should make a bracha like we find by like Yom Tov Sheni Shel Golios. Now, there are those who say that, I'm sorry, it's not the Maharil, it's the Maharshal. The Maharshal, contemporary of the Beis Yosef, Rav Yitzchak Luria. So the Maharshal writes that you do make, it's not in the Makoroshi, you do make a bracha on both days, just like we find by Yom Tov Sheni Shel Golios. Now, the truth is that there are ways to be mechalik. Like, for instance, the Magen Avraham says that Chazal were misaken us in Chutz Laaretz to keep 2 days misafik. So if they were misaken that everybody should be keeping 2 days misafik, so they were misaken to make a bracha also on both days. That was part of their takana. But when you live in a city that might be a mukaf homa, you're only doing it mitzad asafik. It's not that Chazal were misaken that everybody should be doing. So they were misaken there to make a bracha, not necessarily here. So this is a little bit of a debate. There's also a very interesting question. How do we define a suffix? Okay, we keep saying a city that's suffix if it was Mukafis Choma. So if you look on the Makoros sheet in the Beis Yosef here, he quotes Ra'isi to Rav Yosef Abuav, who was a great Sephardic sage. He's Kore Tagar al Haminog. Apparently in Spain, the minog was that if you lived in a city that had a wall, then in the 1200s, 1300s, you know, you're living in Madrid, and there's a wall around Madrid, you're living in Cordoba, you're living in wherever, Lucena, these are all cities in Spain, and they have a wall, that's it. You're Safek, we don't know how old the wall is, Safek, so you read on Yud Dalet and Tesvav. That apparently was the minog, and Rav Yosef Abuav was very against it. He says, "Al karcha lo kamar haRambam shekorin b'shnei yamim." When the Rambam says that misafik you read on both days, that's only in a krach, which is a suffik. Dahainu, what does that mean? That saw some omrim mukefes here. Some people in the town say it was mukefes. Uktzasam omrim ainu mukefes. Meaning there has to be some type of tradition that this was a walled city from biblical times. But if it's just like, hey, we have a wall now, so maybe we had a wall back then, suffik, maybe we did. He says, that's not called a suffik. And he's done on it a little bit. The Beis Yosef himself thinks that you can't just automatically assume. And Lamaisa, that's what the Maharil writes, that I gave you on the Makoro sheet. He says, you can't just do it unless you have some type of reason to think that you have a walled. You have a wall around the city. I think I told some guys yesterday that I believe in Prague, they read Misafik on both days because they had a real Safik. They knew that Prague had a wall around it for hundreds and hundreds of years. Apparently, they had a real Safik, how far back that went, if they really had it from the times of Yoshua ben Nun. Now, I don't know, I don't think modern history assumes that there was a settlement in Prague in biblical times. In fact, there is a Magen Avraham where he writes, I think he writes it B'Shem the Levush, that all of these northern European cities were not inhabited in walled cities in the times, in biblical times. That's some historia that he brings down, or it's just some historical knowledge. So this idea of having a suffix, you have to be able to define what is a suffix. Okay, that is all of the sugya background that's necessary for us to be able to address the question of what about nowadays cities in Eretz Yisrael. So let me, you have a question? Please. Excellent. So first, we all know from this year that Matanos Levionim goes with Mikra Megillah. That always goes along with Mikra Megillah. But L'chore, this is talking about keeping all of the mitzvos of Purim. So you would need, if you're in a Suffolk, you would need not only to read the Megillah, but also Matanos Levionim, which anyway always goes with the Megillah, but also Mishnah Lachmanos and Suda.
Does that change whether you make a bracha on Tesover now?
L'chore not. Okay. What's the question then about Shalavim? What's the question about Beit Shemesh? Why all of a sudden, the reason why I'm talking about Beit Shemesh is because there's been on the social media networks. So they've been, Jake sent it to me, and then I asked her Waxman for a copy of it. There's been a psak that was issued by a Rav, I actually don't know who he is, but... No, I know who he is. But I'm saying there was some Rav in Ramat Beit Shemesh that wrote a tshuva and he sent it to Rav Nevensol. Rav Nevensol signed off on it and said, yeah, that makes sense. You should be keeping Tesvav in Beit Shemesh. So this seems to be a hot topic. I know that for years already in Beit Shemesh, every time Purim comes around, you always see in shuls like, you know, Avreichim that put out like these kuntras of, you know, arguing whether you should or whether you shouldn't. So what's the debate? What's going on? What's Shalavim? What's Beit Shemesh? Why is this a discussion? So... let's first talk about Shalavim, and I guess I'll talk about Shalavim and Beit Shemesh hand in hand. So Shalavim appears in Sefer Yehoshua, appears in Perek Yotes of Sefer Yehoshua, as one of the Gvulos of Shevet Dan. There it's called Shalavim, with a nun at the end. In Shoftim it appears again, and there it says Shalavim, with a mem. And the Pashtus, when you read the Psukim in Yehoshua, because it talks about these cities, V'chatzerehem, and their... courtyards, and their suburbs. So if you look in the Mitzudas, Perish on the Mitzudas David is Perish there, he says that these cities are all walled cities. Chatzereya means like the, you know, the people who lived outside of the wall. So it's the city, and then like the village, the country folk who lived outside. You had the walled city. Those were maybe like the wealthier people who could afford to be inside the city, more protection, wall. And then you had the poorer, or the farmers, and they lived outside, and they were less protected. So, the Pashtus, and this is what it seems like from the Gemara, that and from the Pashtus of the Psukim, that all of the cities that are listed, they have lists of cities in Yehoshua of the different regions. Like, oh, these are the cities of Dan. So, Shalavim is mentioned, and... it appears that those cities that are mentioned are all walled cities. That's the Pashtus of the Pasuk. Now, the truth is that in the Yerushalmi, there's a machlokas. If the cities that are mentioned, explicit about the cities that are mentioned in Yehoshua, are they walled cities, or are they the border cities? Is the Pasuk telling us the border cities, or is it telling us the walled cities? Now, it makes sense that border cities would also be walled, even though, again, it's borders between Shvatim, so it's not necessarily... against an enemy. But still, there is a debate like that in the Yerushalmi, but some of the Mefarshim, and we're not going to get into all the details now, but some of the Mefarshim argue that no, all the opinion that said that they're border cities means is that they're also bordered cities. Meaning everyone agrees that they're walled cities. The question is, are they also the board cities, the border cities? And there's discussion because based on the number of cities that are mentioned, it seems like it's got to be that these are walled cities because the Torah itself tells us that in Hevel Argov, there were a certain number of walled cities, and it can't be that if there are that many walled cities in that region, that in all of Eretz Yisrael, there are only... the following number. So, whatever, we're not going to get into all the cheshbonos right now. If you want, I can give you the makaros afterwards. But the Pashto seems to be that those cities that are mentioned in Yehoshua are walled cities. Beit Shemesh is also mentioned. Beit Shemesh apparently was also a walled city. Now, are we in, though, the original Shalavim? Because as we all know, unfortunately, the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, and the Jews were kicked out of Eretz Yisrael, and Arabs and other peoples lived here for many, many times. And even though there were always Jews living in Israel, there were very few, and most of the cities were taken over by the Arab population. Indeed, there was an Arab town here in Shalavim before 1948, and it was called Sa'albit, or Salbit is what it was called. And I believe if you actually go onto Wikipedia and you look up Shalavim, so you can find the Shalavim, there's a webpage, but there's also a like Palestinian like heritage site about cities that were, you know, depopulated by the Israeli army during the War of Independence, and they have a page dedicated to Shalavim. And in fact, if you go out towards the dorms and you look up on a hill, you'll see on the next hilltop there's like an old structure. And that is an old house, Arab house, from the town that used to be here before. And they called it Salbit. Now, we know that the Arabs maintained a lot of the biblical names, the names that when they came here, hundreds and hundreds of years ago, so they maintained a lot of the names, but they changed slightly. So, for instance, the fact that the ayin got lost, it's Salbit and not Sha'al, so that's very common. The fact that the end, Shin and Samach, also changes all the time. Shin and Sin. So the fact that it's Sa'albit with a Samach, perhaps, as opposed to Sh, or even with a Sin, but it's not Sh, so that also happens all the time. So the name, that's not necessarily a riot, it's not the right place. The other point that's very important to note is that the city of Shalabim in Tanakh is right next to the city of Ayalo, which is the Ayalon Valley, which is probably where Park Canada is. I don't know if you guys know where that is. Park Canada is like when you're coming from the highway on the right side, there's a big park there, Park Canada, and they found an ancient city there, and they think that that was Ayalon. So we're definitely in the right region, right? We are on Emek Ayalon, right? When you go out to the Mitzpah and you look out and you see that beautiful valley, that's Emek Ayalon, right? Hashemesh beGivon Don v'hayarech beEmek Ayalon. The sun stopped in Givon and the moon here in Emek Ayalon. So we're definitely in the area of Shalavim. The question is, are we exactly in the right place? Now, here in Shalavim, generally back then, where were the cities built? On the tops of mountains, right? That's the safest place. So here, the highest point in this area is where the Mitzpah is. And I think I told you that they originally were going to build a base medrash up there because it's beautiful. It's up on the top of the hill. But when they started digging the foundation, they found remains of walls and they found ancient artifacts from times of the Beis HaMikdash. So it seems like if the original Shalavim was in this region, the most likely place that it was probably up at the top of the Mitzpah. Now, you could say, oh, that's all very nice, but this is all speculation. Like, maybe it wasn't on the highest peak, maybe it was on the second highest peak. Maybe it was somewhere near here, but it wasn't exactly here.
Also extend to the Beis HaMikdash probably. The whole city wasn't just at the
Mitzpah. So that's also, and Shalavim has been built up a lot, you know. The kibbutz was the original Shalavim, was the original modern-day Shalavim. And the kibbutz is down at the bottom, as you guys know. You know, you have to go down the hill to get there. But now, Nofai Alon's been built up, and the yeshiva's been built up. So the more we build, the more likely we have houses on the original shetach of the ancient Shalavim. Let's say we're not really there. Well, there's also a din of Samach Venira. Samach Venira means that a city or a town or anyone who lives close, meaning physical proximity, Gemara says a mill, or within eyesight of a Ir Mukefes Choma, gets dragged after the Ir Mukefes Choma. So even if you don't live in Yerushalayim, but you live Samach or Nireh to Yerushalayim, so you also read on the 15th. So granted we might not be in the original Shalavim, but isn't it very likely that we're Samach or Nireh? There's a debate in Rishonim, like how close is Nireh? Is the mill also? You also have to go based on mill for Nireh. And if you're farther than a mill, but a mill, let's assume a mill is around a mile. It's not exactly, but let's just assume. The chances that we're within a mile of the, or a mill, of the original Shalavim is very, very likely. Same thing with Beit Shemesh. Beit Shemesh, there could even be greater argument because Beit Shemesh, they have a place that's always been referred to as Tel Beit Shemesh. It's always been known as Tel Beit Shemesh, even way before Hakamas HaMedina. And in fact, as they were looking, and if you're driving to Beit Shemesh from Highway 1, you're driving to Beit Shemesh,
So on the right side, there's a place where there's always buses parked, and there's like a high hill right there, and it overlooks a valley. So they found a lot of archaeological stuff there, and that they assume is Tel Beit Shemesh, which is the original Beit Shemesh city. The truth is that they were looking to extend Highway 38, which is the highway that goes to Beit Shemesh. They wanted to make it broader, so they found a huge, huge city underground. It's actually, I think it's the most preserved ancient city in Israel or something that they found intact. It's houses after houses after houses. And they didn't know what to do because they wanted to expand the road. But as soon as they started digging, and they just kept digging, and now when you drive to Ramat Beit Shemesh, when you're passing through Beit Shemesh, you see on both sides huge archaeological digs going on because they think they found the original Beit Shemesh. So this original Beit Shemesh is just a couple of meters away from the first houses of built-up Beit Shemesh today. So forget about Samuch, it's touching. And you have much more than that. Ramat Beit Shemesh, as Ramat Beit Shemesh continues to extend southward, there's a tell that's called Tel Yarmut. It's also always been known as Tel Yarmut by the Arabs. Yarmut is a city that's mentioned in Yoshua as well. And now the new area of Ramat Beit Shemesh, which is Ramat Beit Shemesh Dalet, right? I live in Ramat Beit Shemesh Gimel. The new area, Ramat Beit Shemesh Dalet, which they've already been milchlas, they already started people moving into the buildings. The buildings are literally around Tel Yarmut, meaning they couldn't build on Tel Yarmut because it's ancient history. So they built all around it. So Tel Yarmut is now in the middle of Ramat Beit Shemesh Dalet. And Ramat Beit Shemesh Dalet is connected to Ramat Beit Shemesh Gimel, which is connected to Ramat Shemesh Aleph, which is connected to Beit Shemesh. So all of Beit Shemesh now, which is one big city, has in the middle of the city Tel Yarmut. Tel Yarmut, they did excavations there. They found the walls. Not just that they found that it was a city. They found the ancient walls. They dated it. They found layers and layers from different periods. So, and in Tanakh, Beit Shemesh is mentioned next to Tzara and Yarmut and seven or eight different cities. And all of those places, we know where the Zanoach. So nowadays we have a Zanoach and we have a Beit Shemesh, and that's what the Arabs called them. So what would be the coincidence? What would be the chances that there's a biblical place called Zanoach, and there's a biblical place called Beit Shemesh, and there's a biblical place called Tzara, and it happens to be that all in this region where Beit Shemesh is today, there are places that the Arabs called Zanoach and Beit Shemesh and Yarmut, and they all happen to be next to each other, just like they are in Tanakh, but we're not in the right spot. Very unlikely, especially when, you know, Israel's not such a big place. We know that Beit Shemesh lay between the Plishtim and Yerushalayim and the Jews and Hebron, because that's when they brought the Aron from the Plishtim, right? That it was in Beit Shemesh that they brought it to, right? The cows, they put it on the back, and the cows walked, and they came to Beit Shemesh. So, therefore, both Beit Shemesh, the idea that Beit Shemesh is not Samach or Nira, and in fact, even more than that, it's really in the city. It's very, very likely that we're Samach v'Nira. Here's the problem, though. The problem, oh gosh, we don't have a lot of time. That's our first problem. Second problem is, do we have a din, though, of Samach and Nira to a Mukav Choma, which is no longer there, to a city which is Charev? Meaning, if you live close to Yerushalayim, well, guess what? Yerushalayim is a built-up city. It was Mukav Choma of times of Yehoshua ben Nun, and you live nearby, so great, you're dragged after it. But what if you live Samach or Nira to a destroyed city that once had a wall? Is that also called Samach v'Nira? So this is a debate in the Yerushalmi. There's actually a line in the Yerushalmi which is very ambiguous, very vague, hard to interpret it. And there are three different opinions. There's the classic opinion that the Karban Eda brings down, and that's how the Mishnah Berurah seems to paskin, which says that we do not get dragged after the city if the city is destroyed or if the city is inhabited now by non-Jews. If you have a city that was Mukefes Choma, but it's completely inhabited by non-Jews, or it's destroyed, and you're Samach v'Nira to that, you don't read on the 15th, because if they're not reading on the 15th, because there's nothing there, how could you be drawn after it? The whole idea of being drawn after it is that, well, they're reading on the 15th there, so you should also read on the 15th. But there's nothing there anymore. Tel Yarmut is just an empty mountaintop. So what you're going to say, since in Tel Yarmut they read on the 15th, we in Beit Shemesh get drawn after them. What do you mean you and Beit Shemesh get drawn after them? Since in the ancient Shalavim, which might be two mountaintops over, they read on the 15th. Then no one's reading on the 15th on that mountaintop. So that's the opinion the Mishnah Berurah brings. However, the Gra disagreed, and the Gra held, and there's two other interpretations of the Gemara.
The Gra, I believe, brings both of them down to Pshatim. But according to both of these Pshatim, the din is that you would read if you're Samach Venira to a destroyed Mukefas Choma. So what are we paskin? So the Chazon Ish was asked this question explicitly. When? In between 1948 and 1967. Why? Because in between 1948 and 1967, the Ir Atika, the old city, was in the hands of the Jordanians. The Jews weren't there. So, should the Jews in the modern city of Yerushalayim be reading on the 15th? There was no wall in the modern city of Yerushalayim, but there was in the Ir Atika, in the old city. But the old city right now is inhabited by the Jordanians. So are we Samach Venire too? Or are we considered part of Yerushalayim if Yerushalayim is in the hands of the non-Jews right now? So the Chazon Ish said, even though in the Mishneh Berurah it appears that he paskin no, the Gra said yes, and we're paskining like the Gra. So the Chazon Ish paskined that between 1948 and 1967, and this is what they did in Yerushalayim, they considered the Yir HaChadasha, they considered the new city, the modern city, that they had a din of Samach Venira, and they read on Tesvav in Yerushalayim. So doesn't that just like seal the deal right there? So here in Shalavim, here in Beit Shemesh, we shouldn't even be a Suffolk. We should just read on Tesvav. Because we're Samach Venira to the ancient Shalavim. So we have to say, hold on a second. We have a bunch of Sveikos here. First of all, Suffolk number one. Was the ancient Shalavim and the ancient Beit Shemesh, did they really have walls? You said it's mashma like that in the Psukim in Yoshua, but okay, it's a mini Suffolk. Let's say we assume that that's true. So we don't know if those walls are from Yoshua ben Nun. So they dated them to be very old, but do we paskin halacha based on carbon dating? What was that?
I think a lot of these stories didn't happen, and it's not really possible like carbon dating. So once you start admitting carbon dating, things.
Well, okay. I mean, the fact that they didn't find something isn't necessarily a raya. Okay, but yes, okay. But let's leave this question. I'm just pointing out all the sfeikos. First of all, Suffolk number one: did Shalavim really have a wall? That's Suffolk number one. Suffolk number two: are we really in the original Shalavim? Or are we Samach Venira to it? That's suffix number two. Okay? Both of those, I think, we could be pretty confident answering those positively and saying, yes, it had a wall, and yes, we're near the original. Okay, suffix number three. What's the halacha by a destroyed city that had a wall, but now we're Samach Venira to that? So that we said is a machlokas Mishneh Berurah in the Chazon Ish. But again, seems like we could possibly like the Chazon Ish. But there's one more suffix, or one more difference. The difference is, Yerushalayim, we know for sure Yerushalayim had a wall, and we know where Yerushalayim was, so we're Samach Venira. But what are we nowadays? We are possibly Samach Venira to a city that might have had a wall, that might have been in this area. Right? There's a lot of sveikos going on. So to say that we should definitely be reading on Tesvav is very hard. To say that we definitely should be reading. In Yerushalayim, we don't read on 14th and 15th. We read on the 15th. It's Yerushalayim, you're Samach Venira, you read. But here, us, so we're Safek Samach to a Safek Mukafas Choma. So the standard psak until now in Shalavim and in Beit Shemesh has been that since there are so many sveikos, we go with, remember, there even is a machlokas rishonim, when you have a suffik, was the Gemara midas chasidus, was the Gemara not midas chasidus. So the standard psak has been, and there's a list of all cities in Israel, what their din is. So the standard psak has been, that we read on the 14th here in Shalavim, and also in Beit Shemesh. Now that Tal Yarmut is literally in the city. This is not Samach Venir anymore. It's in the city. So now there's a little bit more talk about Beit Shemesh, that maybe Beit Shemesh, it's not a question now, are we Samach Venir? It sounds like we're literally building houses on the spot of the ancient city. So there's a little bit more to talk about in terms of Beit Shemesh, but certainly until now, the standard psak has been to only read on the 14th, and that I think will still, even Rav Nevensol's psak notwithstanding, I am pretty sure that will continue to be the psak in Beit Shemesh for now at least, that it's not going to change. But There are rumors that certain people here in Shalavim do read and do keep Purim both on the 14th and the 15th, Misafik. No, not with a bracha, but they do it Misafik. So that's a little bit halacha lemaisa, mamish lemaisa here for us.